Wow, there's still people here and you're awake. So thank you for that. I just want to acknowledge first the traditional owners of the land on which we meet and pay respects to their elders past, present and emerging. Obviously, there's a whole load of acknowledgements for this project, too many to mention, really. And the project was funded by the Australian Department of Health over 3 years, and it finished in June this year. So we received funding originally in 2016. And the instruction was to develop web-based, culturally appropriate BBV and STI online learning resources for priority populations of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, sub-Saharan African people, people from Southeast Asia, India, Pakistan, Afghanistan, and China. Basically, what we did was information on HIV, Hep B, Hep C, STIs, and ultimately now it's in 22 languages, including Yom Platok from Torres Strait, and four sub-Saharan languages, which are Dinka, Swahili, Somali, and Shona. So clearly this presented a few challenges along the way. And ultimately, it's really a balance between the appropriate sexual health information, which is an issue all on its own because of the cultural and taboo kind of cultural linguistic appropriacy, and trying to get the information across. We were also dealing with people whose language obviously wasn't English, and that was quite a deliberate decision that was taken, and why we went down the linguistic route. So working clearly in 22 languages is very challenging. This is actually the website. Difficulties included things like finding translators, finding editors, finding proofreaders, all of these people. When we did find translators, they often refused the work because, of course, they're from the same communities and they have the same cultural problems with the material that the target audience would have. And then, obviously, some of the languages, particularly the sub-Saharan African languages, are emerging, and so where do you find people anyway? Then when you've got that, because we recorded everything, then you had the same problems all over again, trying to find people who had the talent to record it and the willingness to attack the material. So, wrong way. Oh. Why? Okay, so lessons learned, and there were a few. The main ones, I guess, was don't try and do it all yourself. In the first 2 years, I was dealing with over 50 different people with all the languages, and in the first year, it was only 17 languages. So I learned, you know, bring people along with you, help spread the load. In the third year, we went up to 22 languages, so now I was dealing with 80-odd people if I was doing it by myself. So don't do it by yourself. The next one was plan for delays. It takes twice as long and costs twice as much than you think it's going to cost. The delays were often with the people that we were trying to work with in language who had told you, yes, they would accept the job, but then didn't do it, you know, because of the confrontational content, I guess. And then the next one was communication. And this was really, really important in convincing people that this was a good thing to do. People did understand that it was necessary information for their communities. It was just trying to get them over that sort of barrier that they were putting up for themselves. And that was true even in the recording studio. So it took a lot longer in the recording studio with some people. So, but we were lucky. The results were at the end of July, we had over 370,000 hits on the website. The in-language information was highly valued. We had this externally evaluated. And these are just some of the quotes that people said during the evaluation. And that's it.